Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all share in common in these crazy times called 2020. We all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy, crazy year. So welcome to the 463rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is The Coronavirus, Protests and Riots, and the Lack of Knowledge, Part 2. And later in this message, we're going to tie it all into Deuteronomy chapter 28, which opens with this short but powerful passage. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. So we're going to build on what we covered last week concerning people being destroyed and their children being forgotten. Why? Because they lack knowledge. But the bottom line, folks, is that we're all being destroyed by this lack of knowledge. So what's really going on here in this scamdemic and these mostly peaceful riots and all the other tension popping up now between China and the United States and the crazy, crazy things we see going on in Congress? What's going on all across America today? Well, be sure to stay tuned to find out as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding, as I always say, in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist, as I like to call it. So now what we'd like to do is get started with what I've labeled, and this is because she helps me so much every week, Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. Okay, the way I want to do this now, folks, is we're going to open each segment with a specific topic. And our first one, of course, is what I call our coronavirus update. So it is. It is a scamdemic, folks. And if anybody can deny that, then they're brainwashed. Here's one out of naturalnews.com. Fauci himself, 15 years ago, said that chloroquine has effective at treating coronavirus. So on August 22nd, this was in 2005, okay, this is when he said it. To be precise, it was published in the Virology Journal. And this is the official publication that Fauci, who leads the National Institute of Health, uses, okay, to get information out. And in this article published, and it's out there, it reveals that chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. And this was all done under Fauci's watch. The article says, we report that chloroquinone has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate primate cells. These inhibitory effects are observed when the cells are treated with the drug, listen to this, folks, either before or after exposure. And this suggests, this is so key right here, both a prophylactic and a therapeutic advantage. So in one sense, it could be used as a vaccine of sorts. And the other, it can be used as a therapy for those who got it. And the key in both cases is to use it. Now, there's all kinds of studies out there right now which claim it's not working. Yet Fauci, the spokesman of this entire scamdemic, avoids talking about the truth. And he actually opposes it now instead of favoring it. And he's promoting the vaccine. Yet there's this viable alternative out there, and everybody that uses it knows that. So what's really going on here? Well, it's money. In fact, back in 2005, Fauci, in his own words, admitted that micromolar quantities of chloroquinone completely abolished the SARS-CoV infection. These are his words alone. I'm looking for the clip. I want to play it for you. Folks, is this crazy going on here? Can anybody say conspiracy? That's what it is. So think about this. Let's tear it apart a little bit. Tease it out, as my one customer used to say. Fauci talks almost every day during this crisis, yet never mentions his earlier work while serving under Trump's administration. So he either has some kind of political motivation or a financial motivation to do so. Remember, he's a diehard Clinton fan, a diehard Democrat. And he stands to gain millions, if not billions, when this new vaccine comes out. Yet what's he get for a generic malarial drug that's been around for decades? Pennies per pill, if he's even invested in that. So there's all kinds of sick things going on in this COVID-19 world, so to speak. It's really beyond anything I can even imagine. I'd have never dreamt this. And what I want to do is move something up here. I have a couple comments on COVID-19. They're not really from articles. They're just different things that I've collected over the week. You know, you hear this hotspot in Texas and everything's such a crisis. And then President Trump gets maligned because he says, well, we have more cases because we did more tests. That's true. But not for the slanderous reasons all the talking heads are saying that he doesn't understand how severe this is. Well, there's about 2.5 times as many tests administered for COVID-19 this year in Texas as compared to the last 2 years for the flu virus. So, of course, you see more cases. But the point is that the positivity rate in these tests is about 1/2. And even at this higher sampling rate, the deaths are a mere fraction in Texas this year for COVID-19 as compared to flu deaths last year and the year before. That's the true science. And if you go on to the CDC website and you look at a special report they prepare once a week comparing the actual deaths this past week compared to the estimated deaths, and there's typically about 8,000 deaths a day in the United States, you see that for the entire country, from the beginning of the year till now, we're only at a plus 6%. Take out the hot spots, and we're actually lower. So the question is, what's going on here? You know, there's a lot of scientists and engineers, doctors out there that are warning about 5G, and these hot spots all correlate to 5G launches. Why aren't we talking about this? Come that narrative is squelched everywhere you go. Yet I can pull out engineering papers that show that these ionizing frequencies, it's like microwave. It is microwave, in fact. It's not like it. It's microwave. And what's it do in your little oven on your kitchen sink? It causes water molecules to oscillate. That energy is referred to as kinetic energy, and that causes heat. Well, you do that in your body, and you cook your body. And then there are scientific papers out there that show that this frequency of radiation actually inhibits the ability for the hemoglobin molecule to absorb oxygen. Respiratory distress, put them on a ventilator, overpressurize their lungs, kill them, and blame it on COVID-19. That's what's going on, folks. And then what about this face mask craze everywhere we go? Someone sent me a video, thank you, Sister Kathy, that was from Carol's Never Lose Truth video. It's a man in some foreign country. He's not speaking English, but he takes one of those canned air devices that you clean your keyboards off with, and he sprays it through all the face masks that people around him are wearing, the types that you see when you go out. And in every instance, the aerosol goes right through. Yet we're told that these aren't to protect yourself. They're to protect others from the aerosol you project from your speaking and your coughing and your sneezing. Really? What's going on here, folks? I think it's about control. I think it's about compliance. And I think what we need to do as people of God, wake up. Now, I don't know if you know Mark Sargent, but what I want to do is play a clip, or at least 3 minutes of this clip from Mark Sargent, and let you listen to his version of what's become very popular over the internet, and that's the open letter written by some woman titled, It's Just a Mask. Just take a listen to this, folks.
It's just a mask, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. It's just a vaccine, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. In 4 months, the U.S. has almost transformed into an obedient socialist country. The government dictated what social events were acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay. Church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are, however, dangerous. And most of you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine like Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot are allowed. Come on, it's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Use it to buy something from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change. There's a coin shortage. Use your card, unless there is a cash tip jar. In 4 months, they have convinced you to use a traceable card for almost everything. In less than 4 months, governments have closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever because they were fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled fear in the majority of the population of America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and how much toilet paper you buy. And the most dangerous and terrifying part is that people are not afraid of this government who removed their freedom. They're afraid of their neighbors, family and friends, and they hate those who won't comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that people don't question authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just gave up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on. It's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the vaccine. Wait until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof of receiving the vaccine. Don't think it's possible? You've already allowed the government to say when you can go outside and when your children can take part in a new digital education, and this was just in the last 100 days, and you followed blindly because you were told to do so. You're kidding yourself if you think this mass behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine or whatever the next step is.
Crazy, huh? Everything he said is happening, folks. This isn't some sort of fantasy or projection or prophecy. This is reality. Right now, we're living this. And I am amazed at the complicity of the American people. They're like clay in the hands of these liars. And they do it all the time. Every day they're coming up with a new lie. Poor buying it, hook, line, and sinker. It's sickening to see. Now, at this point, what I'd do is transition into the mostly peaceful riots. And I'm going to have a clip. I'm working on a new rap. Hey, by the way, that rap video has close to, I think it's 250,000 views now. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that, eh? Anyways, I would transition into this next piece. I want to share some news concerning what's going on with these riots. I think there's an end game, folks, here, and it's becoming fairly clear to me. Sad, but I see it. This one's off thehill.com, and it's titled, Acting DHS Secretary Says, I don't need invitation from Portland to deploy officers. So this is going to be a clip I'm playing from Department of Homeland Security Chad Wolf arguing on Monday, I think it was on Fox, that he doesn't need authorization or an invitation from local officials before he deploys federal law enforcement assets to detain suspects. This was on a Fox interview. Okay, and this is in regard to what's going on out in Portland, Oregon. You know, they're trying to burn down the federal courthouse. And so there are these officers coming in unmarked cars and taking people off the streets, and there have been some mistakes. And I'm not endorsing this, and I'm not saying it's good. I'm just telling you what's going on. So I'd like you to hear it out of the mouth of Chad Wolf himself from this Fox News interview. It's about a 30-second clip.
And so I don't need invitations by the state mayors or state governors to do our job. We're going to do that whether they like us there or not. That's our responsibility. Now, first and foremost, we want to work with them, and we have great working relationships with a vast majority of local law enforcement. However, there are some communities that, again, want to breed this environment that allows this lawlessness. So at the end of the day, we're going to do our job. We're not going to apologize for it. We're going to do it professionally. We're going to do it correctly. But, again, we're going to protect those communities, those federal facilities, and our law enforcement officers that are putting their life on the line every day to protect these communities.
Wow. That is some dangerous talk, folks. And you may be scratching your head and saying, bro, Ken, how can you say that? Aren't you for law and order? Yeah, I am, folks. Under the guide of the founding document. And that would be the U.S. Constitution for the United States of America and the first 10 amendments. This out of the Rutherford Institute, John Whitehead. He's a deep thinker. Rutherford.org, and the title is The Federal Coup to Overthrow the States and Nix the 10th Amendment. It's underway. Like I said, it's a wake-up call. That's what Mr. Rutherford's saying, okay? And what we see unfolding right now, according to Mr. Rutherford, and again, I agree with everything he's saying here, these police agencies, they're defying local governments, and they're tapping into the power of the federal militarized agencies. So DHS has turned into I hate to say it, but stormtroopers. And what they're being used for is to put down domestic unrest, which I think is reasonable, provided there's a coordination between the state, local governments, and the feds. You know, in every county across America, the sheriff is the highest law enforcement authority in that county. And I'm warning you folks, just as Mr. Rutherford does in this article, that this could snowball, avalanche into an aggression against the states and local government, a coup by the feds in these militarized departments to totally destroy states' rights and the separation of the powers between the states and the feds. Now, for the most part, this has all been washed away back in the bankruptcy of the Great Crash when FDR essentially signed us over to the global bankers. And that's all. I have another segment that's going to be coming up. I'll explain it later, but that could be a topic for one of these Back to the Future segments. Anyways, this is a serious, serious threat, okay, against sovereignty. And I just hate where it's going. And then how about this? Out of altmarket.com, I think Brandon does a great job. Brandon Smith wrote, Election 2020, the worst case scenario is the most likely one. So what's going on? What's going to happen? I mean, you remember 4 years ago, the buzz for the 2016 election, and Brandon predicted Trump would become president. And that prediction wasn't only based on the fact that Hillary Clinton was perhaps the least electable candidate out of any that the Democrats could have nominated, but he contends that Trump was the useful scapegoat for this entire collapse scenario we're experiencing now. And remember, when I opened up these coronavirus updates several months ago, my first one was on the love of money in the coronavirus. And I explained to you how the entire world financial system was basically in crisis last fall, 4Q 2019. And all the overnight repo loans of $50 to $150 billion a night that the feds were pumping into the global system. And then last week I told you how this is all about the velocity of money. So you do these trillions upon trillions of cash infusions to balance ledgers that have both been decimated and totally obliterated by these derivative scams that the commercial and investment banks now merged are doing, which is destroying our currency. And they realize if we don't dump water on this economy, if we don't lock down the people, and this money starts to change hands too many times, exceeding the GDP, we're going to have hyperinflation. We can't do that yet because we haven't stolen everything from the people. So Brandon goes on in this article and talks about how this is all coming together to basically move the people into this new financial order and this new global order. So there's a lot of sick things going on here. Joe Biden, I think it wouldn't be too hard to convince anybody that he's in a late stage dementia process. He's got the same characteristics I saw in both my father-in-law and my dad as they both died with dementia. You can see it. It's that glassy stare in the eye. It's the lack of focus on a topic when it's discussed. It's high energy at the beginning of a discussion, petering out to barely being able to complete the sentence. That's everything I'm seeing in Joe Biden. So maybe President Trump is meant to stay in office for another 4 years, because it doesn't look like Joe Biden has the power to hold on and make this happen. But it all depends on the moderates in the middle. And I don't think it matters either way, because this Democrat-Republican dichotomy that they've put up in this country, it's a false binary, folks. Do you ever notice how it's always Pelosi going after Trump and Trump going after Pelosi? Yet when all this crisis hit, they marched lockstep towards the goals of the international bankers. Yeah, and they handed out our hush money, our $1,200 a piece, and wanted us to spend it, like Mark said, in that it's just a mask clip. They wanted us to spend it at all the big box stores that are in collusion with each other, enforcing the mask mandate. You know, I won't set foot in a Walmart, a Lowe's, a Home Depot, a PetSmart. I'm going to be doing all my buys at the local stores and the Dollar Generals and all the stores that aren't going into this mask madness. So we got these pandemic lockdowns Brandon was talking about, and this virus that's spreading and all the crazy stuff that's happening. Is it going to be mail-in voting? Is it going to be electronic voting? How about that judge that was caught stuffing mail-in ballots into the ballot box? And then we got civil unrest and violence. This is all changing the paradigm, folks. So what's going to happen for sure? Well, I can tell you one thing for sure. The establishment, the deep state, is going to continue to advance their agenda, which is globalism, cashless society, and numbering each of us. All things that we see in the book of Revelation. These are I do truly believe these are the end times. Sister Kathy and a lot of the people out, the Five Doves, they're seeing all sorts of indications that this is a very important weekend for this.
And I don't know for sure, folks, whether this is being fabricated by the elites to create scenarios that mimic the prophecies of the book of Revelation, or whether this is it. But I do know one thing. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back soon. So we need to be prepared. We truly do need to be prepared. So President Trump may be president for another 4 years. He may not be the president for the next 4 years. The bottom line is that the globalist agenda continues to march on. And then have you seen all this crazy stuff with China? It started with a report from Hal Turner that the Chinese embassy in Houston were burning documents. Now, Japan did this right before the Pearl Harbor attack. So at first you get this information and you say, oh, it's Hal Turner, you know. But they were burning documents, so much so that the neighborhood called the fire department. Yet because it's sovereign national, you know, Chinese national territory, they weren't allowed on the grounds. So they had fire trucks, ladder trucks there, prepared in case these fires got out of control. But the smoke was so dense from burning these documents that people could smell it miles away, and it actually caused visibility problems within the local area. So it was pretty serious. And now you see all sorts of things with other embassies. The one in Wuhan, China, the U.S. embassy in Wuhan, China, or consulate, was ordered to close. They're saber rattling. Terry and I just got a new streaming service called Pluto TV, and I recommend it to all of you. DirecTV, they're liars from the pits of hell. We called this past week to get our rates reduced because they went from $68 a month to $133 a month. We're on auto pay and we didn't catch it right away. Long story short, they shut off our receivers, sent us new receivers, billed us for them. Now they want to do an early termination fee. Ugly, ugly story. They lie. They tell you they're going to do one thing, they do the complete opposite. So we just said no more. We're done. Loyal customers for 25, 30 years. Don't watch a lot of it, but it was nice to have it at $68, but not $133 a month. So you know what, folks? We wake up Sunday morning. We have no television. So I download the app called Pluto TV, which you can do. You can watch it on Roku, Fire Stick, AirPlay, so many different ways, smart TVs. Reason I'm telling you about Pluto TV, there are some independent news stations out there. America's Voice, One America, I think it is. They have some really hard-hitting, fact-telling people on there that pull no punches. They make Fox News look like liberals. So I encourage you, even if you have regular television or cable or you don't really have any issues, check out Pluto TV, go to the news section, and look at some of these independent news agencies. Wow. I'm surprised they're on there. When they break the commercial, they always put up a little Pluto disclaimer. Pluto's owned by CBS, and the parent company is CBS, and they say the views expressed on this show don't necessarily reflect those of Pluto TV and CBS News. It's amazing. And then, Sister Kathy, thank you for this. NASA and FEMA conducted asteroid impact drills for an impact plan for September 2020. Mark Salvo wrote this on July 23rd. 2020. Headline news. And back in 2016, he reports that NASA and FEMA teamed up together for these asteroid impact drills. Now, that might not seem like a big deal, but just take a moment and remember what happened last fall. Event 201. The elites all got together at John Hopkins with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sponsoring it, and they put their plandemic, their scamdemic, the coronavirus host plan to roll out their new world order. So back in 2016, NASA and FEMA created a plan for an asteroid impact response, and they planned it to take place in September of 2020. Maybe this is the second 9/11 event that's not on steroids, moving in slow motion. It's been hybridized and is now going to happen real time, super fast. Possible? Absolutely. You know, think back. These drills always seem to have some sort of uncanny way of becoming reality. And that's what's known as predictive programming. And boy, there was a good one on that clip from Sister Kathy that Carol did at Never Lose Truth, showing an episode of Last Man on Earth. All the stuff we're seeing right now, 17. Predictive programming is a methodology that is highly effective, highly effective in shaping public opinion. We talk about that with Edward Bernays and propaganda. And that would be a fitting topic for a future segment of our Back to the Future segment. But now it's time for our first ever Back to the Future segment. And in this segment, we're going to take things folks, back to the future. So, of course, for all you movie buffs, you know that's the theme song from the movie Back to the Future. And by the grace of God, in this new segment on our weekly SDG messages, we're going to call it Back to the Future. And what we're going to do is we're going to take one or two shockers from the past and tie them back to the future. That's today. And then segue these very relevant realities in these end times directly to God's word. Now, for this first episode of Back to the Future, I want to remind you of something that goes all the way back to 1969. Perhaps some of you don't remember it, but Rockefeller insider Dr. Richard Day, who died in 1989, gave a talk in Pittsburgh titled The Illuminati Plan to Enslave Americans. So this was back in 1969. And just key notes from his talk. He said the U.S. will deindustrialize, which we have, and gays will be given permission to act out, which they have. Women will be masculinized, which has gone way beyond that, and our music will get worse, much worse. So everything that he was talking about to this group of pediatricians in Pittsburgh back in 1968-69, it's all come to pass, Miss Majors, all designed to create a police state unfolding before our very eyes. So when are we going to wake up, folks, and realize that the elite have a plan to destroy us? You know, he did this back on March 20th, 1969. He was the national medical director of Planned Parenthood, and that's a Rockefeller-sponsored group. He was speaking at the Pittsburgh Pediatric Society, and he discussed this new world system that would permanently transform the world. Now, he died in 1989, like I said. And what he was hoping to do there in 69, 20 years before his death, was prepare physicians for what was going to be coming. Now, he warned the doctors not to take recordings or notes. Yet one doctor there, Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan, died in 2004, reported what he heard. Now, the fact that only one doctor came forward and blew a whistle on this indicates that a lot of these professional societies have some sort of secret oath or Masonic origin. Now, in this talk, and this is a quote from Dr. Dunnigan, who reported on this, Dr. Day said, some of you will think I'm talking about communism. Well, I'm talking about something much bigger than communism. And he went on to say that there is much more cooperation between the East and the West than people realize, you know, communism and capitalism. And that's true. And he said, he went on to say that he's free to speak at this time because everything is in place and nobody can stop us now. And that's that same false paradigm that I was talking about between Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump. It's sickening. So keep all this in mind about what Dr. Day spoke to these 80 doctors back in 1969 here in Pittsburgh, right down the road from where I live. And let's talk about another thing that happened in that same time frame, a little bit earlier. It was this program, the secret op by the CIA titled Operation Mockingbird. And by the way, on the one show on Pluto TV News, they actually talked about Operation Mockingbird. I'm telling you, they're getting good information out. And they said, as is pretty well established fact, that CNN talking heads, not only CNN, but they specifically mentioned Wolf Blitzer, and I'm going to add Anderson Cooper, are CIA agents. They are. So this was a secret weapon developed by the CIA to influence media. It began back in the 50s by Cord Mayer and Ellen W. Dulles, and then it was carried on later by Frank Wisner. Okay? And what the CIA did is they recruited American journalists, even against their will at times, by holding them hostage to some secret about themselves. And that's the way they operate, folks. They either trap you with drugs, money, or perverted sex. And then they say, you either do what we say you're going to do, or we're going to out you. And I do suspect that's what happened with Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice Williams. You know, his name was on a list on the Loyola Express, you know, Epstein's plane to a sex island down in the Caribbean. Yeah, there's a man named John Roberts on the flight manifest. So what do they have on Roberts? Because he has certainly turned some of his deciding decisions now fall on the side of craziness. And it's happened time after time after time. So anyways, back to Operation Mockingbird. What the CIA did is they recruited journalists to present the deep state or the CIA's view on matters. And remember a few weeks ago, I played that clip from Francis Schaeffer that showed that the way an article or a news story is reported upon can totally change the perspective that people receive it. So the CIA is going around recruiting journalists, funding student and cultural organizations, and even using magazines as front. And as Mockingbird developed, and it's never been officially terminated, folks, which means it's still in operation. And there are some declassified documents, not many. CIA claims there's only 7 pages. That's laughable, isn't it? Nevertheless, they're out there. I have a copy. If you're interested, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I will get those out to you, folks. And please spread the word about this show around so we can get more and more people listening to it. I actually have the soundboard lighting up now. I'm thanking the Lord for this, and I am just believing that people are going to hear this. Even if they just listen to the news, the truth, like I said last week, draws you to the ultimate truth, Jesus Christ. So, folks, spread the word. That's what I'm saying. So there are these programs in the CIA, legitimate programs that are now being corrupted by Mockingbird, advancing this globalist agenda. And this is sick. So tie into what's going on today. Well, one example is Pizzagate. Oh, bro, Ken, what are you talking about Pizzagate? Nobody believes Pizzagate. That's all. No, it's not conspiracy theory. But yeah, it's conspiracy theory, bro. No, it's not conspiracy theory, folks. It's conspiracy fact. In fact, I showed our one office manager, her name's Cindy. I showed Cindy this week the little symbols on the lion in Lion King. And they're the same perverted symbols that the FBI published a document saying this is the way pedophiles communicate. And those are the same images that were found on that pizza shop in Washington. Remember Ben Swan? He was doing a piece exposing Pizzagate when his management, the editors, told him to stop, and he wouldn't, and they fired him. Ben Swan, he has his own channel now, and the information he's getting out on coronavirus is fantastic. He did a segment last week on face masks. I strongly encourage you to listen. But back to Pizzagate. And how that ties into what Day was talking about in Operation Mockingbird. So you get the people in such a confusion that they don't know what the truth is. And I forget which of the leaders of Mockingbird said, it might have been Alan Dulles, said that we will know that we have accomplished our goal when the American people no longer know what the truth is. And I can't tell you how many times I see that. So now, if somebody's getting outed or one of their plans is getting outed before they want it to be known, they can just have this confusion, make people say, oh, you don't know what's real anymore. That's got to be false. And that's what they did with Pizzagate, because it wasn't time yet to get that out. How about this? Wayfair and traffic childing? This rabbit hole goes deep. The Vigilant Citizen did a piece on July 15th talking about this Wayfair conspiracy, or as some people are calling it on Reddit, Wayfairgate. It's on Reddit, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And as more and more people on the internet dig into this, they're seeing these bizarre details. And there was a Redditor, I guess you call them, named Princess Peach 1987. She made a post where she identified these WFX utilities storage cabinets sold on Wayfair for $12,700 to $14,500. And they were all given bizarre names like Naraya and Yaritsa. Odd names for industrial cabinets, wouldn't you say, folks? But what's interesting is that these are the very names of missing children. So this led to the fact that a $200 metal cabinet on Wayfair was selling for an order of magnitude more than its value. Two orders of magnitude more. And a lot of people were thinking this has nothing to do with a cabinet, but everything to do with sex trafficking. Isn't that sick? Folks, I'm seeing all sorts of stuff right now, and it just saddens my spirit. And so you ask yourself, what's going on? What's going on? I really want to know, don't you? Because things are not normal. So I don't think anybody's going to deny there is a tremendous amount of destruction and death around us. Uncertainty. Things just aren't right. Now, the truth is, out of Deuteronomy chapter 28, that the truth, and this is truth, right out of God's word, that both blessings and curses follow the character of a nation. And eventually, over God tells us that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 2, verses 15, and verses 22. And then between verses 1 and 14, he tells us all the blessings. And then from verse 15 to the end, and it's a rather long book. It goes up into chapter 50, I think. He goes and tells us all the curses. Now, I'm not going to read all of this to you. But in verse 2, he says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." So like I said, between verses 3 and 14, he tells us all of these blessings. And then between verses 15 and, I didn't write it down, I apologize for that. He goes on and warns about all the curses that will plague a nation that turns their sights away from God. And then in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways and according to our doing, so hath he dealt with us." It's a causal thing, folks. The bottom line is that the blessings of God are real causes, both in our lives and ultimately in the directions of our nation, or nations, plural. So when God removes his blessings, we're cursed. And when we follow his mandates, his blessings flow abundantly. And that's the entire premises of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verses 1 through 14 are the blessings. I do have it written down here in my notes. And then verses 15 through 68, the curses. So it's true that when we reap, we sow what we reap. But folks, I'm telling you, it goes far beyond the natural. And it's very, very deeply linked to the spiritual realm. In fact, the philosopher Immanuel Kant, he suggested that God brings about an ultimate harmony between virtue and felicity. Now, by felicity, what Kant was talking about was our happiness or our well-being. Now, remember, happiness comes from that word hap, which depends upon our circumstances. So ipso facto, our actions, good or bad, they determine our circumstances. So how does a nation reap this happiness or well-being? but following God's law. And what have we done? That's exactly the opposite of what our nation started doing. The exact opposite of what our nation was founded upon. And why the Ten Commandments are seen in courthouses, literally carved into the walls across this nation. And they're even in our Supreme Court, because that's what we were founded on. Did you ever hear that well-known esoteric saying? It says, as above, so below. In other words, this natural world can be viewed as a visible symbol of the spiritual world. That's what the occultist doctrine says. They state that our earthly condition can be seen as a lower copy of the heavenly. In other words, they claim that cause and effect is as uniform in the spiritual realm as in the material. And think about this. And it's true. Light a fire near a keg of gunpowder, and what do you get? An explosion. Plant a good seed in good soil, and what do you get? Good fruit. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, that shall also he reap. Now, I've said it time and time again, that for us believers, this world's the worst taste of hell that we'll ever experience. And yet for the scoffer and the unbeliever, the only taste of heaven they'll ever have. So, folks, it's a matter of perspective or position in relation to God through Jesus Christ. So from where the occultists are coming from and ultimately headed to, which certainly isn't heaven, it's easy to see why they say as above, so below. But for you and me, folks, as believers, I say the opposite is true. Below us is above. We're seeing the worst because we know what's to come. So let's get a few takeaways here from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Give us some hope in these crazy times. Now, first of all, God describes what we could call the behaviors of a good person. Now, of course, we all know that Jesus said that none is good but God. And that is true in an absolute spiritual sense. But today, in a worldly perspective, and we are believers, sojourners, headed home, what is a good person? Well, first of all, a good person is teachable. The Bible says he hearkens diligently unto the voice of the Lord. And that ought to be a trait found in every one of us, sons and daughters of God. Because as true believers, we understand that our utter dependence, the very next breath we breathe, comes from God. And that's something that we've got to understand. We need to depend not only on one another, but on God for everything. You know, when we truly got saved, we surrendered to God's absolute righteousness. We surrendered to his authority in our lives. And by doing so, we need to follow his commands and his instructions. You know, when God says, don't do this, he's not saying, I want to deny you pleasure. He says, I don't want you to get hurt. And when he says, do that, what he's saying is, I want you to be blessed. So as believers, one of our characteristics is that we're teachable. And we should be turning to God, not only for our needs, but also our questions about what's going on around us as we patiently listen for his still small voice. You know, we ought to be literally delighted, like a little child is on Christmas Day as he's ripping open the gifts, as we listen for God's still small voice. And when we do, he gives us wise precepts. Plus, as believers, not only should we be teachable, we should also be prudent or wary of what's going on around us. Gentle as doves, as wise as serpents, that's what Jesus told us to do, remember? We shouldn't be willing to take risks without God. We should be observant of his ways, always desiring to know his will. We should be listening for his still small voice, knowing his voice, like a sheep knows the voice of his shepherd. Jesus said that in John 10:27. Now our eyes are open, and we have a spiritual light to see. And that's in us. Just like Jesus healed that blind man in John chapter 9. And I did a message on this in great detail. And if you'd like to listen to it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. And I'll send you a link to that message. So for all true believers, the blindness of our minds is gone. The God of this world no longer blinds us to the truth, like Paul warned the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Plus, a good person is also described by their obedience to the commands of God. You know, Moses did bring the tablets down from Mount Sinai. Yet Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, that God's law is written on our hearts. So as believers, we ought to follow Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and offer ourselves up as living sacrifice, no longer conforming our minds to this world, but allowing our minds to be transformed into the mind of Christ. We share in the mind of Christ with is the wisdom and power of God. And when we do that, folks, we know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But in addition to these behaviors that should be in all good people, described in Deuteronomy chapter 28, God tells us that goodness is as linked to greatness as cause is to effect. It says that in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So just as in nature, an absolute truth is that all plants reach upward for the light, all gases as they expand rise. In the spiritual kingdom, it's a truth that all goodness grows into eminence, dominance. So if you're good, it rises to the top, just like cream rises to the top. This isn't some arbitrary decree of God, folks. It's the very nature of his universe, an example of his immutable character. It's there. That's one of his guarantees to all of his creation. His kingdom never changes. Now, of course, for a season like we're going through now, evil can prevent goodness from getting its due reward. But the final point, the final truth is that faithful service of a good person will be crowned with honor and glory. If not here, there. Plus, the reward of goodness isn't only about the behaviors of good people and that this goodness leads to greatness, but the reward for goodness is this rock solid knowing that you know. The Lord shall establish thee as an holy people, verse 9, and thou shalt go not aside from any of the words which I have commanded thee. So bottom line, folks, a life of obedience is the best choice. You know, there's that saying that God helps those who help themselves, and that's not found in the Bible, but there is truth there. When you take a step, a deliberate step to obey God, that over and over it becomes easy and easier to do by repetition, as that repetition develops a habit. Now, these habits, they lead to a permanence in our lives, and that develops our character. And that good character foreshadows the destiny of the nation. So if this is happening in every home across America, which it isn't, the ultimate outcome is the cream coming to the top, the plant reaching for the light. Out of this flows the virtue of God's eternal law, that God helps those who help himself. So that is true. And I do know the Bible doesn't say it, but I'm telling you, that's a truth. You know, folks, as you practice that and you develop this character, it becomes easier and easier to resist temptation than early on in your life. And you do have the power of the Holy Spirit giving you that strength. So devotion to God and his ways, conforming to his will, creates this natural outflow of our soul, which you call the fruit of the Spirit. And then as you continue to walk with him, the gifts of the Spirit. Plus, behind all these forms of blessings, our personal God can be seen by unbelievers. People say that food sustains life today, but it's actually God acting through that food that does that. They say the doctor healed me. No, it's God working through that doctor that healed you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit quickens or gives life to our mortal body. So that food, that treatment from the doctor, they were the means for the Holy Spirit to quicken or give life to our bodies. You know, think about it. You could have fertile land, good farming practices, awesome weather, put it all together, and it still won't assure you of an abundant crop. It's God acting through these natural factors, all working together, that gives you the harvest. And the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that the Lord shall command the blessing, which just may follow, and the crop may increase, even if God's not acknowledged. But if that's the way you live, you're on borrowed time, folks, and I promise you there won't be any joy. You know, without God in our homes, we could still have a house full of children, but they may not be healthy and strong. They could be sickly. Instead of being straight-A students, they could be special needs students. Instead of laughter in the homes, there could be weeping because God's not present in the home. So for a generation or two, you can get by with this. We can have our McMansions with no security. And isn't that what happened out in Indianapolis in that gated community? Weren't the gates broken down? Yeah, there was an apparent success, but a hollowness. Look around right now. Look at all these illegal aliens. There's talks about the gangs, the warlords from Mexico, Chinese sleeper cells, terroristic sleeper cells from the Middle East, all coming in, all ready for the go signal, hell-bent on destroying America, not assimilating into our culture, even if they're just legit illegal aliens, but balkanizing America. Now remember what happened under the Clinton administration to Serbia and Yugoslavia? That's what happens when you don't have an assimilation. So there can be signs of a prosperity, but it's like cutting the roots off from a tree. The tree looks good for a while, but it's lacking the Heavenly Father's blessings. And when his blessings are withheld for a while, it leads to curses. Plus, there's another thing. Good people delight in spreading the good around. So pay it forward, as we like to say today. Share the good news. The Bible says that as true believers, we partake in God's divine nature. So by his very nature living in us, we become a lesser source of his blessings. And it says so in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Thou shalt lend and shalt not borrow. So we should be paying it forward. So as we bear the name of Christ in our identity as Christians, blessings on this nation flow through us. So we got to stand up. We got to let our light shine. As true believers, we got to act in God's name as we imitate God in all of his thoughts, in all of his words, in all of his actions. His thoughts, his words, his actions should become ours. We got to live this out, folks. And when we do, the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in our lives. And the closer you walk with the Lord, there's going to come a time when you get baptized by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then not only his fruits, but his gifts begin to manifest in your life. And it's his grace in us that distinguishes us, makes us different, and marks us as the sons and daughters of God. God working in us. The Bible says that we are a peculiar people. Now, the world needs to see this right now, folks. In the midst of these crazy apocalyptic times and these happenings in 2020, the people, the unbelievers, the people full of doubt and despair, they need to see this light of God shining in us as God's glorified and Jesus is lifted up. And then he promises us he'll lead all people with ears to hear and eyes to see to Jesus. He'll use us. We can co-labor with him. The Bible tells us that we need to be prepared to give an answer to them, all of those people, for the hope that lies in us. Are you ready, folks? I know these times are crazy. I know it's nuts. But I encourage you right now to go out and let that light shine in you. Let it shine. Take your basket off. And in these dark times, rejoice in his light, in his love, in his life. And remember those words that Winston Churchill said. You can think all kinds of things about him, but these are good words, folks. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. And let's just put our hands up now and praise the Lord with Jeremy Camp. And remember, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you and me. And I'll be back next week.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.